Thank you, Casey. I'm looking forward to having the opportunity to talk with you today about my study on the assessment of mercury levels in mother neonate pairs in Brooklyn. And I'll just take a minute to briefly acknowledge my co-authors at Downstate, Malini Prasad, she's an MPH and medical student, as well as Emmanuel Annam from my department. And we collaborated with the physicians, Dr. Abulafia and Dr. Dalul in obstetrics and gynecology, and collaborated with Dr. Palmer, that should say Parsons, and Chris Palmer, excuse me, Patrick Parsons and Amy Stuerwald at the Wadsworth Lab. And I have no relationships to disclose. So mercury is distributed in the environment broadly through industrial sources, electric utilities. It readily bioaccumulates in aquatic systems, and we're exposed through the ingestion of fish, as most of us know. It's a well-established neurotoxin, and in utero, exposure is of particular concern because it's been associated with miscarriages, preterm delivery, and results leading to developmental and learning deficits, growth deformities, and organ damage. There are various risk factors that have been indicated by the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, as well as the specific NYC Haines study, that have been found to be unique to urban immigrant populations. And these have included risk factors such as frequency of fish consumption, coastal proximity, higher income level being associated with greater predatory fish consumption, and ethnicity. And mainly that has looked at Asian populations and increased fish consumption. So the rationale for looking at the study population in Brooklyn is that the community surrounding SUNY Downstate is predominantly composed of recent Caribbean immigrants, and that's estimated to be nearly 70%. Fish and seafood has been found to be an important part of their regular diet, and there are folk practices in the community that may be using elemental mercury, because elemental mercury use has been associated with the practice of voodoo, Santeria, and the like, and elemental mercury has been found to be available in local botanicas or herbal remedy stores. Thus, the aims of our study were to characterize prenatal mercury exposure levels in this urban immigrant population through the examination of maternal urine and neonate cord blood. And we also set out to examine environmental sources of exposure through the use of a questionnaire. We utilized a hospital-based cross-sectional study design. So the study population included women presenting at the prenatal clinic at SUNY and returning for childbirth. And the study period was from December 2007 through December 2009. And the inclusion criteria were all singleton births, excluding women less than 18 years. Our sampling protocol included the collection of the mother's prenatal urine and umbilical cord blood at delivery. And we looked for metals, including mercury, lead, and cadmium. And I'll just be reporting on the mercury results because we didn't find substantial results to discuss with respect to these other metals. The questionnaire to assess maternal characteristics, product use in the home, occupational history, fish consumption habits, as well as folk medicine or ritualistic practice, was developed in collaboration with Caribbean physicians and some community members. So we wanted to be culturally sensitive in asking the types of behaviors that they meet these women during the prenatal times may be We also looked at maternal and infant information from the medical records, such as the health and demographic data. And we categorize cord blood into low and high levels, corresponding to the EPA's reference dose of 5.8 micrograms per liter. We examine the association with gestational fish consumption, neonate gender, and maternal demographics, such as age, the mother's age, race, education level as a proxy for socioeconomic status, and the mother's foreign or U.S. birth status. Oh, sure. I'm sorry. We also perform univariate analyses for selection of variables for a final linear regression model to look at the prediction of cord blood mercury. And this is a brief snapshot of the population when we were at the sample size of 135. Actually, that went up to 190. But at this point, nearly 38% were foreign-born. And this is just a nice figure to indicate some of the countries of origin of the women in the study. Overall, 49% of the women were foreign-born from the final 190 who participated, and 91% of these were Black. So we found, with respect to fish and shellfish consumption, that 15% of women reported consumption 4 to 7 times per month, nearly 10% reported consumption several times per week during pregnancy, and of these, 1/3 reported consuming fish high in mercury. Nearly 40% reported consuming fish extremely high in mercury compared with fish consumption low in mercury. In terms of cultural reporting of cultural practices, 27% reported that someone in their home performed religious or ritualistic ceremonies using incense or candles. Upwards of 12% reported burning incense. Up to 15% reported use of candles. We asked the question all together and then separately. And there were no reports of elemental use of mercury in the home. However, 2 women reported use of special metals in ceremonies, and 6 reported use of special charms during pregnancy. So I'm going to jump to table 1 to show you the geometric means for the maternal urinary mercury and the cord blood. Okay. So this is table 1. And overall, the cord blood geometric mean was 2.14, and the maternal urinary geometric mean was 0.35. And you can see the 5th, 50th, and 95th percentiles. So greater than 15% of the cord blood levels in this study exceeded 5.8 micrograms per liter, or the reference dose. High and low cord blood groups, mercury groups, were significantly different by maternal fish consumption levels. And I'm going to jump to another. Figure 1, which presents cord blood mercury levels by frequency of maternal fish consumption and foreign birth status of the mother. And you will see that there is a dose response in terms of women consuming fish during pregnancy, less so versus several times per week. And there's also a very interesting difference between these trends with U.S.-born women compared to women born outside of the U.S. And the women born outside of the U.S. appeared to have overall higher levels at every fish consumption level. However, none of these results were statistically significant. And we attribute these to possible unidentified sources of mercury in their environment, perhaps consumption of larger fish meals, or differences in the type of species consumed with respect to U.S.-born versus non-U.S.-born women. So based on our chi-square analysis, high and low cord blood mercury groups were significantly different by consumption levels and by the birth status of the mother. So with that, we built a final linear regression model, and that's what you're seeing here in Table 2. and we found that fish consumption frequency during pregnancy and U.S. birth status of the mother were statistically significant in the model in predicting neonate cord blood mercury levels. So in conclusion, higher frequency of fish gestation consumption or gestational fish consumption was associated with elevated levels in utero, and the foreign-born black women of Caribbean origin were identified as an at-risk group. So this study provides new information on risk factors for mercury exposure among urban immigrants, which may lead to more targeted interventions. So some of the recommendations that we came up with are for continued attention by healthcare providers, health agencies, and community health advocates to educate women of childbearing age about appropriate fish selection and avoidance of mercury exposures in the home and how to clean up accidental mercury spills in the home. And also in communities where ritualistic use of mercury is suspected, it would be wise to involve practitioners and providers of the elemental mercury in partnerships to help in the dissemination of educational information about mercury exposure prevention. And I've included here just some fish suggestion information for women of childbearing age, and it's interesting that we had these little cards on our seats from Purdue University, and they're nice little like pocket size cards that you can bring to the store with you, and this is mainly targeted for women of childbearing age and young children. So I'd like to acknowledge the New York Community Trust, who provided funding for the project. We also had partial support from CDC and a grant to Wadsworth Center up in Albany, New York. I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Cam Benker. She's an MD at SUNY Downstate and School of Public Health, who introduced me to the issue of the ritualistic use of elemental mercury when I joined the team at SUNY Downstate. And I had a large group of grad students who have worked on the project through the years. And I'd also like to acknowledge the members of the community leaders and the physicians who came in and gave us advice on the design of the questionnaire. That was pretty fundamental to the success of the project. It was a one-time sample in terms of the urine sample, so that was during the 7th to 9th month of pregnancy. One urine sample, and then the neonate cord blood. Yeah. It was a pilot study. Yes?
Did you report back to the women who participated in the
pregnancy survey? Yes. Upon participation into the study, we distributed literature about cleaning mercuries cleaning up mercury spills in the home, mercury consumption, appropriate fish selection during pregnancy. So we provided materials when we first recruited them into the study, and then when we reported back their levels, we included the same types of information, and we didn't really have any concerns afterwards from the women when we reported back. And women who, when a child had a higher level, we offered also to have the blood retested, of course.
Why did you choose urine analysis as opposed to hair analysis?
Just based on this, well, hair is a pretty tricky issue when you're dealing with this specific community. We had been told that there would be a lot of unwillingness to actually give a piece of hair, so urine was more practical.